Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Welcome to another episode of ABC, All About Cryptids.
Welcome.
My name is Ryan.
I'm Dawn.
And today I'm going to tell Dawn about a cryptid.
Okay, before we do that, after last episode, I decided I wanted to write a theme rap for the podcast, if that's okay with you. But we don't.
Well, I don't know if it's okay with me, but you're going
to
do it.
I'm going to do it anyway. I have to say, as much as I tried to make it more generally thematic, this one is much more specifically about Billy, the Beast of Bray Road from last episode. So
okay.
If you guys haven't listened to that one yet.
Just so you know, I want to warn you a little bit that you can rap this. But I have control of, like, post-production. I could put a beat in there. I could auto-tune you. I could do all kinds of things to you.
I actually do recommend that you auto-tune me.
Okay. Well, without warning and with very little enthusiasm.
Yeah, that's true.
Here is Dawn's rap.
Ryan's eyes are so dead right now. On some rural backcountry road at night, Glow and eyes and fangs gave me a fright. A werewolf motherfucker with biceps like Thor, eating his spaghetti a la carnivore. But what the heck is this beautiful beast I see? Damn, I wish somebody could educate me. Luckily, this bloke I kinda know has an educational podcast, and it's about to blow your minds. Teaching ABCs, all about them freaks, all about them ABCs, equally outlandish and plausible. Teaching ABCs, anything is possible when it's all about cryptids. Word.
All right, I guess that's our that's gonna be our intro. I just wanted to let you know that that's our intro now. I know you love that. I know you love it.
I have to say, I think it's too long for an actual intro.
No,
but
it's not.
I enjoyed writing it.
It's not too long because, you know, I'll speed it up and give you chipmunk, give you a cryptid voice.
Oh, that would be good. That would be on brand.
So,
what are we learning about this week?
This week, we are learning about taking out the trash.
What was that?
That was me taking out the trash. I have this OCD thing where whenever the trash can is full on a computer, like, I have to empty it.
Oh, not like in real life.
Yeah, no. That I don't care about. That you can just keep pushing down and make more room. Today, we're going to learn about the Enfield Horror.
Oh.
Yep.
Man.
So most of this stuff, this information, just as a, I don't know, credit where credit is due, is from the Cryptid Wiki, mm-hmm. which is probably where I'm going to get most of the information from, but also regular old vanilla Wikipedia.
Fair.
So it's kind of like both of those things. So the Enfield Horror is one of the absolute strangest creatures ever to be chronicled in cryptozoological lore.
I mean, its name is horror. Like, that's what it's also been classified
known
as.
It's also known as the Enfield Monster, too. But
we'll
horror
go with
sounds
horror.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, the bizarre string of events that would eventually stir the small Illinois town of Enfield into a frenzy of fear began on the chilly night of April 25th, 1973.
Oh, man.
When a young boy named Greg Garrett claimed to have been attacked by a truly bizarre beast while playing in his backyard.
How old was the kid?
It doesn't say.
Okay. Sorry, and what year was this?
1973.
1973, okay.
The child described the being as having no less than three legs, grayish, slimy skin, short claws, and reddish eyes.
Oh.
The creature apparently stamped, that's in quotes, on the boy's feet with its own three apparently clawed foot-like appendages, tearing his tennis shoes to shreds.
Hmm.
Greg, crying hysterically, wasted no time scurrying away from the fiend and back into the relative safety of his parents' house.
Relative safety?
Relative safety, because they're related to him. That's why it's called relative safety.
I get it now. I like how the horror or this monster's threat of choice is to stamp on your feet. Not like you punch somebody or try to eat him or suck his soul out.
Yeah.
Stamping on his feet.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he hates those kicks.
I mean, it was the 70s.
So, yeah, I mean, you know what? They're probably like, they're probably Chucks.
Yeah.
So, like, it probably wouldn't have taken much to destroy his shoes. Okay. So, although young Greg's encounter was technically the first on record, the one that brought this creature to notoriety came just a half hour later when the Garrett's neighbor, one Henry McDaniel, and his family had their own face-to-face encounter with this entity.
All right, so he's a local being. Well, he doesn't stray far from his haunt.
I mean, do you?
I don't, but...
So wait until I get to the episode on you.
Oh my God, this whole thing has been a meta-narrative about how I'm a cryptid.
Yep.
Oh my God.
You destroy my shoes. You have glowing red eyes.
Only when I get angry.
So at about 9:30 in the evening, McDaniels returned home to find two of their children, Henry Jr. and Lil, in a terrified stupor. The children claimed that a thing had tried to break into the house through the door and a window-mounted air conditioner while the parents were gone. It was then that they all heard a scratching sound at the front door.
Oh my God.
Assuming that it was some sort of stray animal, a skeptical Henry McDaniel cavalierly approached the door and yanked it open. What he saw before him would have shook even the most courageous man to his core. I like how this is written,
yeah,
too. Like, this is not sensationalized at all. This is just the facts.
Is this the police report?
Yes. So there, standing on a stoop, was the same red-eyed monstrosity that had terrified his own children and assailed the Garrett child less than an hour before. McDaniel backed away from the entity in horror.
Before he could stamp on his shoes and destroy
them? Before he could stamp on his shoes. That's right. That's all you had to do to defeat it is just take a step back so it can't get your shoes.
Well, I'm glad we learned this early on.
He slammed the door, stumbled to a nearby closet, and retrieved a flashlight and his .22 pistol. While his horrified family waited, Henry returned to the door, and with the conviction of a man dead set on defending his family and home. This is so funny. All the little editorial asides. Whoever writes for the Cryptid Wiki is my favorite writer.
They're going to get a Pulitzer.
He threw it back open, revealing that his first vision of this unbelievable beast had not been a hallucination.
Oh, fuck.
Later,
that's not good.
Later, McDaniel described the creature to the police. It had three legs on it, a short body, two little short arms coming out of its breast area, and
like
two pink eyes as big as flashlights. It stood 4.5 feet tall and was grayish colored and was trying to get into the house. You mean like a little, like a monster that's like, you know, almost as tall as you are is not going to scare you that with that description?
No.
Two pink eyes as big as flashlights. All right. With three legs.
It's a Bratz doll. Or what are those?
What? A Bratz doll?
Those Monster High dolls. Yeah.
It's a Monster High doll in 1973.
Well, it was before its time.
You mean it was ahead of its time?
It was ahead of its time. Viral marketing. I'm calling it. I said that about the last
Monster. If you're just going to use your same lines over and over again, this podcast is going to have a very short run.
All right, continue.
So McDaniel opened fire on the creature, hitting it immediately. But instead of falling to the ground wounded or dead, the horrible thing merely hissed like a wildcat. That's in quotes. And that's the sound effect. At the frightened homeowner. Henry, who had fired four shots at the thing, assured anyone who asked that he had not missed.
Huh.
So when I fired that first shot, I knew I hit it. McDaniel promptly called the local authorities. But when Illinois state troopers who responded to the call arrived at the scene, the only evidence of the encounter that remained were a series of scratches in the siding of the McDaniels' home and dog-like prints in the yard.
Huh.
What made the prints so unusual was the fact that they had six-toe pads and, even more intriguingly, they represented a three-footed animal, with one track being slightly smaller than the others.
Interesting. Oh, all right, I'm going to call it right now. It was originally twins in the womb, and then they conjoined. So it's a conjoined wolf beast that walks on three legs instead of two. Mm-hmm.
Okay, a wolf beast.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, wolves walk on four legs.
No, wolf beast, similar
to the Beast of,
to
Bray,
the Beast
Road.
Of Bray Road, minus now, the fangs and the fur and the four-leg biceps.
Okay.
Was he eating a plate of spaghetti? He just wanted spaghetti. That's why he wanted to
maybe,
come into the house.
Maybe. They, you know what? I bet the farmer or whatever, McDaniel, just had, just like when they went out and they left his kids home, just like there's just a bowl of spaghetti on the stove for you. Or like a pot.
Yeah.
Like just a giant pot of spaghetti. And they just like, just eat it whatever you want. We'll be back by 9:30. Don't let any creatures in the house. As long as you're next to your brother, you're in relative safety.
We should get a plaque for inside our front door that says, don't let any creature in the house.
So there's more to this story, too.
Oh, man.
This one is actually kind of weirdly interesting.
Shouldn't they all be weirdly interesting?
No. You don't think Bigfoot is interesting? You don't even believe in Bigfoot?
No, I don't. For the same reason I don't like zombies, I just don't find him or zombies compelling. And
but that doesn't mean, like, I don't find, I don't know, like, I don't find McCall's compelling, but they exist.
Well, I mean, sure.
You know, I barely find you compelling, but you exist.
Oh, damn. Burn.
So, if McDaniel believed that his encounters with the unknown were a thing of the past, he would soon realize that he was sadly mistaken.
Sadly.
When, on the eve of May 6th, he was startled awake in the dead of night by the howling of some neighborhood dogs.
Oh, so this is approximately a month later.
Because
the first one was April 12th,
yes,
did you
so
say?
So about a month later, right. Correct.
But I'm curious about the lunar situation.
You always are. Is that going to be your other running guy? Was it a full moon?
I'm not the one
why don't
who
you,
spaced these almost exactly a month apart.
Why don't you go get a laptop of your own, and whenever we're doing this podcast, you're just Googling the lunar cycles from whatever year that I say.
I might have to.
All right. So you can get
we'll
off
have,
of
like,
your
this whole
checklist.
Crazy chart on the wall.
You will have a whole crazy chart on the wall. I don't want any parts of your chart. McDaniel pulled himself out of bed and once again claimed his firearm and, with what must have been great trepidation,
oh God,
editorialization again, I love it, opened the front door.
Great.
This time, his encounter with the creature would not be so intimate.
Ryan just jumped.
I didn't really. It was more like a cringe than a jump. He claims he watched the thing at some distance, languidly negotiating the trestles of the railroad tracks near his home.
Listen, I love words more than most people, but now I'm getting a little annoyed, actually, by
Why?
This writer.
Why?
He languidly trestled. What?
No,
what
no.
did it say?
He languidly negotiating the trestles of the railroad tracks
All
near
right.
his home.
All right.
What's wrong with that?
No, I mean, you know, to be honest, the second read through, I like it a little bit better.
that's choice writing right there. That's quality.
Yeah. It did include an adverb.
Exactly.
All right, I'm going to allow it.
Well,
continue.
That's actually the sign of bad writing. But
excuse me?
Yeah, you're excused.
No. Okay.
I saw something moving out on the railroad track, and there it stood. I didn't shoot it or anything.
Well, it would have done any good.
It just started on down the railroad track. It wasn't in a hurry or anything. As
it's
is
just
always,
living its life.
It's true. As is always the case with astounding events such as this, it wasn't long before the press got wind of the weirdness and came out in full force.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't until McDaniel's second report that the media frenzy truly kicked into overdrive.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, now we're getting the fake news. So White County Sheriff Roy Passard? I call him Sheriff Roy.
Yeah, that's...
White County Sheriff Roy was perturbed by the sudden influx of press and curiosity seekers, not to mention the alarm that was settling in on the locals. He threatened to incarcerate McDaniel if he didn't stop inciting panic by spreading his wildly terrifying tale.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
This is kind of reminding me of Stranger Things a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I want to be picturing... what's his name? David Harbour?
Yeah. Hopper.
Hopper. Yeah, that's him.
Yeah, well, it's so Sheriff Roy
is
Hopper.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what's really funny about this is that I didn't get to do like I clicked on the link whatever some research for this, but some social scientists studied this case because of like almost like mass hysteria because he kept telling the media got a hold of it and like it was a small town so everyone was just like gripped by the story and like you know, it was like monsters coming out of the belfry and whatever everywhere. It was like one of those kind of things. To make matters worse, well-armed posses of amateur monster hunters began patrolling the area near the LNN railroad track sightings.
Did they get matching jackets?
It was, yes. They issued matching jackets that said Monster Hunter on the back.
Hell yeah.
It was on one such expedition that five young men allegedly had a run-in with the creature identical to the one Garrett and McDaniel encountered, with one notable addition being that they described the thing as being hairy.
Wait a minute. How did the little boy describe him in the beginning? Like, just sort of like gray and slimy?
Let's see.
Or did I make that up?
Yeah, slimy skin. So these
and
guys changed it to hairy.
Hair. Okay.
I mean, you know what? It's a little kid.
Yeah.
And again, this, we'll get to, you know, our thoughts and feelings or whatever at the end. I don't know about this one. I think that because there's a logical explanation for what it is that's hilarious, which is one of the reasons why I was like, oh, we're doing this one. That, like, I think it's a combination of two things. I think the logical explanation is the thing coupled with mass hysteria created this cryptid.
Okay.
So like, I actually believe all of this, like, happened. But when you find out, like, what it probably was, hilarious. So, the men discovered the beast hiding in the underbrush and proceeded to open fire on it. But much like in the McDaniel case, their bullets were unable to cause mortal injury, and the monster bolted off at a speed that eyewitnesses surmised was greatly in excess of any of that a human could achieve.
Oh.
The final eyewitnesses to this improbable creature was Rick Rainbow, the news director of radio station WWKI in Kokomo, Indiana.
Wow.
He and three other unarmed or unnamed individuals claimed to have seen a gray stooping?
Yeah, like hunched over.
Oh, hunched over? Yeah. Okay. A gray stooping 5 foot tall entity lurking outside an abandoned house not far from the Garrett and McDaniel's homes. Although they did not have nearly as close, or for that matter, harrowing, an encounter with the previous set of witnesses, Rainbow and his crew did manage to do one thing the others do not: tape record the monster's disturbing scream.
Oh, I might have nightmares now. This all of a sudden went from funny to
So it should be noted that between the years 1941 and 1942, in the sleepy village of Mount Vernon, less than 40 miles away from Enfield, there was a similar spate of encounters involving an anomalous leaping beast that terrorized the local populace and that was reputedly responsible for numerous animal deaths in the region. Eyewitnesses claim that the Mount Vernon monster was vaguely baboon-like and was able to leap 20 to 40 feet in the air.
Holy shit.
Okay, so...
And did that have a scream?
No screams reported.
Are you going to play me the scream?
No, but I mean, I guess... hang on. Okay, so I tried to find the sound. Dawn wanted to hear the sound, but I was unsuccessful in my attempt.
Yeah, which is not boding well for the veracity of this...
So...
Of Ernie Vernie. That's what I named him.
Ernie Vernie?
Well, yeah, because there's ties to the Mount Vernon monster. Maybe it's the same.
Okay. Do a rap for that, too. Now you have to do a rap for every creature.
Oh, don't tempt me.
So it was suggested that the creature may have been a kangaroo escaped from a nearby zoo, which would explain the three-leg description, as the tails of kangaroos look like a third leg.
Yes.
McDaniel was adamant that the creature wasn't no kangaroo, having owned such a creature as a pet while on military service in Australia, and noting that kangaroos have narrow faces and tracks that leave claw marks. Following media coverage of the creature, an Ohio man contacted a local newspaper stating that the creature may have been his pet kangaroo, Macy, which had been lost or stolen a year previously.
Oh, poor Macy.
Yeah.
So, but I also am curious, like, are kangaroos immune to gunshots? Like,
well, no, he probably just didn't hit it.
Okay, so he missed.
Yeah, like, all he's right. Adamant about how he hit the, you know, he hit the kangaroo or whatever.
He's going to protect his family.
But, so, like, yeah, exactly. I'm going to protect my family from this kangaroo. Although, remember that video of that kangaroo?
No, that was the scariest thing, because he looked like a scary man, like, with a kangaroo face.
Right. So, that's why I'm thinking that, like, what happened was that little kid saw Macy, freaked out, and then a little bit later, those other two kids, because, like, even if he knew what a kangaroo was, the little kids don't. And, like, you know how, like, when once things, you know, are heightened like that, and, like, you have kids involved and, like, people and, like, misremembering things.
Absolutely.
And then,
of what you're expecting. You're,
right. And then you're getting attention for things. So then the story exaggerates. Like, this thing was totally Macy. Now, here's another, and of course, and like the leaping.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
How high can a kangaroo leap?
I don't know. How much leap could a kangaroo leap if a kangaroo could leap kangaroos? But a few days after the event, United Press International quoted an anthropology student who suggested that the creature may have been a wild ape, noting that such animals have been reported throughout the Mississippi area since 1941.
Interesting. All right, so this would also then tie
1941
into the,
yeah, ties into mm-hmm. the Mount Vernon jumping.
And the scream, because I don't think kangaroos make weird sounds, do they?
I mean, I've never tickled one.
Well, let's go to Australia.
Yeah, so what do you think about the Enfield horror?
I think it was definitely a... Well, but I will say, with the whole third leg thing, apes don't have tails, right?
Not that I know of.
Do baboons?
Not that I know of. I don't know anything about apes or baboons or monkeys or whatever.
I don't know. Maybe it was a kangaroo-ape hybrid. They can totally mate. Oh, yeah, it's true.
No, they can't. One's a marsupial.
Isn't this whole podcast based on the fact that anything is possible?
No. I guess this whole podcast is based on anything could possibly come out of your mouth.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm definitely going to go with this one is some kind of like animal. That
misidentified animal.
Misidentified animal. Yeah.
I mean, for the most part, with some few exceptions, I think that most cryptids are misidentified animals
of
one form or another. I mean...
Oh, can I just go back to say something real quick, though? If the boy's tennis shoes or whatever his kicks were truly torn apart, though, like, again, I don't know that that would... A primate would be able to do that. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, but again, so, like... When you're dealing with the eyewitnesses and the reports and everybody's all heightened and like, you know, like the kid described it as slimy skin. And then the monster hunter said that it was hairy.
Yeah.
And, you know, so maybe it was an escaped kangaroo and a wild ape. Who knows?
You never know.
You know, maybe they were seeing a different creature.
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
This whole area.
Yeah. I mean, man, to be in the Midwest in the 70s, UFOs. You had UFOs, you had...
You know, I didn't even let that come into my mind. It could have been.
Yeah, just like in Fargo.
I know.
Maybe it was an alien.
It could have been. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that's what I think it was. Like I said, there was... Somebody did a study, some college or whatever, did a study on this incident in terms of, like, mass hysteria and stuff. Because apparently it did get pretty out of control in the town. You know, Hopper was was trying to keep a lid on things and keep everyone calm down, but they were pretty hyped about the Enfield monster.
Oh, man. I can imagine.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty cool.
It's the most exciting thing that's ever happened.
Yeah. And they're still famous. We're still talking. It happened in 1973. We're still talking about it in 2018.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah. And then they got on TV and newspapers and everyone with monster hunters were coming. But yeah, that's the Enfield horror. What do you, on a scale of 1 to 10? All right, well, I guess this one will have to be a little bit different. Scale of 1 to 10, do you think that it was Macy? What do you think? 1 being definitely not Macy, 10 being, oh yeah, definitely Macy.
I think it was probably Macy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Like a 7, an 8?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
that's what
nine.
I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe even a 9. Because like it's too coincidental.
Right.
That a guy lost his kangaroo. And also, how do you own a kangaroo?
Well, it was the 70s, right?
That's true. Yeah, it's true.
I mean, to be quite honest, if you went like down south today in 2018, I bet you could find some people with some weird-ass pets that are super illegal.
That's true. I mean, is it illegal to own a kangaroo?
Maybe
that's why he didn't report it. And why would you steal a kangaroo? I mean, actually, I take that back.
Yeah, no.
I know absolutely why you would steal a kangaroo. You'd be like, holy shit, it's a kangaroo. I want it.
Or maybe like it used to be in a circus or... I don't know.
Kangaroos circus animals?
I don't know. If I were at a circus and I saw a kangaroo, I'd be like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't go to a circus because I'm not a horrible person.
Yeah,
but
I mean, everybody. I mean, if I saw a kangaroo anywhere, I'd be like, oh, cool. Unless it was scratching on my door trying to get in through my air conditioner.
Yeah, that That I think that the kids said it did that, or the parents were home by then.
No, the kids said that okay. It did that. But
right, well, I think the so ultimate moral of this story, and maybe perhaps this whole podcast, is we should not believe children.
No, you should never believe anything a child says and say, shut up and eat your spaghetti. So that's the Enfield Horror.
All right. Ernie Vernie turned out to be Macy.
Yeah. So until next time, always be cryptiding.
Bye.
See, you're not the only one who can come up with catchphrases.
I came up with a theme rap. And I think because it starts out with the Will Smith song, we might get a cease and desist letter.
We're not going to get a cease and desist.
Because no one's listening.
No one's listening.
But not to pay royalties, but to never, ever sing it again.
It's the intro to the podcast. I can cut that out and just put it before every podcast. You sang it into a microphone. It is now saved on my computer. All right, goodbye.
Bye.